Part 2. Chapter 5. Home Again. A hot August sun came through the windows of the sitting room at Windy Corner. Two people sat in the room. 19-year-old Freddie Honeychurch and his mother, Mrs. Honeychurch, who was looking out of the garden doors.
"I think that she has made a decision," she said, finally. "I'm glad that Cecil asked her one more time."
"It's the third time, isn't it?" said Freddie. "I don't want to be unkind, but I just don't feel comfortable about it."
"Well, I like him," said Mrs. Honeychurch, turning towards Freddie.
"He's good, and he's clever.
The vices are very rich, and he has beautiful manners. It's good that he asked me first this time, but of course it's for her to decide."
"He asked me too, and I said the same. I liked him before. But it's something Mr. Beebe said, not knowing. He said, Miss Device should never marry. I asked him what he meant, but he..."
Freddie suddenly went quiet as Cecil came through the doors. Cecil was a tall, handsome man who wore glasses. He had square shoulders and always held his head high, like a statue or a god.
"Oh, Cecil, do tell us," said Mrs. Honeychurch.
"She has said yes," Cecil replied, smiling widely.
"Oh, I'm so glad," said Mrs. Honeychurch. "I feel sure that you'll make our Lucy very happy."
"I hope that I do," replied Cecil. Then he turned back to the garden.
"Lucy!"
he shouted. Lucy got up from her seat and came towards them with a smile. She kissed her brother and then her mother.
"Would you like to take Freddie and Mrs. Honeychurch into the garden and tell them all about it while I write to my mother?" said Cecil.
He lit a cigarette as he watched them walk down the stone steps to the grass. Then he thought about the events that came before this happy day. He knew Lucy before Rome, but only as an ordinary girl who played piano. But he remembered how bored he was when she and her terrible cousin appeared in Rome and wanted to be taken to St. Peter's. That day, Lucy seemed just like a tourist. But Italy did something to her. It gave her light and secrets. And suddenly, she seemed like a woman in one of Leonardo da Vinci's paintings. Slowly, his feelings became something like love. In Rome, he asked her to marry him. And then again, 3 months later, in the Italian Alps. She said no both times, but in a gentle way that did not worry him. So today, he asked her again, and this time she said yes. He sat down and wrote to his mother. While he liked Lucy's family, he wrote, he felt that it would be good to bring her to London as soon as possible. She needed to meet a better class of people. He was just finishing the letter when the maid entered and called,
"Mr. Beebe!"
The new clergyman of Summer Street was brought in.
"Hello, Mr. Vice," he said. "I've come for tea and news."
"What news?" asked Cecil.
"I met Sir Harry Otway as I came up here.
he has bought the Sissy and Albert villas from Mr. Flack. They are two lovely little houses in Summer Street.
I'm afraid I know very little about what happens here, said Cecil. I only visit the country to see my friends. Italy and London are the only places where I'm truly happy to be.
And what is it that you do, Mr. Vice?
I don't have a job, said Cecil, so I can do what I like.
You're very lucky, said Mr. Beebe.
He turned and looked around him.
Where are the others? Is Lucy playing the piano? She plays so wonderfully, but she lives so quietly. Perhaps that will change one day.
She is wonderful, said Cecil, and she's going to marry me.
I did not know that you were close with her, Mr. Beebe said slowly, trying not to show that he did not like this news.
At that moment, Lucy and her mother came up the garden steps.
Have you heard? Mrs. Honeychurch said.
Yes, I have, replied Mr. Beebe. And I hope their lives are good and happy.
The little group sat down for afternoon tea, and Mr. Beebe told the others about Sir Harry Otway and the two villas.
Mr. Flack's old mother still lives in Albert, but he is looking for tenants for Sissy, he said. But it is a difficult size. Too big for the working classes and too small for people like us. Harry Otway doesn't want to rent it to the wrong kind of people.
What about the Miss Allens? Said Lucy quickly. Do you remember the two old ladies we met in Italy? I heard from them last week, and they are looking for a home. May I tell them to write to you?
Of course you may, said Mr. Beebe. What a good idea.
That afternoon, Lucy and Cecil went for a walk.
I really don't like Sir Harry, he said. He sounds like a terrible snob.
What you say is true, replied Lucy. But does it matter?
Yes. I hope he gets some lower-class tenants in that villa.
Ugh, but let's forget him. Lucy was glad to do this and followed Cecil.
Which way shall we go? She asked. The road will be easier.
I'd prefer to go through the forest, said Cecil, in an irritated voice that confused her.
You never want to be alone with me, Lucy.
So Lucy walked into the forest with Cecil behind her. But very soon they reached the forest pool, and suddenly she understood.
Lucy, he said, turning her towards him.
Yes, Cecil?
Until now, I have never kissed you. May I now?
Of course you may, Cecil. I can't run at you, can I?
But as he went to kiss her, his glasses fell between them. He knew that he was failing, and asked himself why any lower-class man could do what he could not. In his mind, Lucy was standing by the water. He ran up to her and took her in his arms. She said no, then yes, and afterwards loved him always for being so manly. He did not try to kiss her again, and she did not ask him to. They left the pool without speaking.